Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, who reveals in her new book that she once euthanized a dog on the farm by shooting it, claiming the dog had attacked people and killed some chickens. Although Noem says she did this to protect her small children and because the dog simply could not be trained despite months of effort, it's clear to see that no dog ever deserves to be put down. Instead, as Face the Nation host and moral sage Margaret Brennan suggested, just take it to the shelter. That way, we can infer, you can pass the problem along to somebody else who will adopt it without knowing of its difficulties and won't be prepared to deal with them. Or perhaps it can simply go live on some mythical farm where all the dogs go who can't get adopted and then live in peace and satisfaction miraculously forever. Don't ask questions. What is especially galling about Noem's telling of this story is that she expresses no regret whatsoever, as if it's somehow perfectly normal for people who live on farms in rural America across the country to routinely have to put down animals for various reasons, especially dangerous ones. But no. Obviously, Noem should have simply taken her chances and put the lives of her children at risk just so the fragile moral sensibilities of city people from two decades later wouldn't have to be jostled by her story. For killing a dangerous dog, for doing so with a firearm, and for daring to retell this story without realizing how unsympathetic the American voter of 2024 would be, Kristi Noem, we cancel thee and express our wish that we could send you to the great farm beyond the horizon where all the offensive, difficult, and Republican politicians should go forever. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, a big round of applause for Men's Health magazine, which recently featured an article celebrating men who reject stereotypes of the healthy male body and embrace themselves despite being what most observers would describe as morbidly obese. The core of this groundbreaking article, appropriately titled I'm Big and I'm Strong, was telling the story of three men, a former pro wrestler, now 330 pounds, a fitness trainer, now 275 pounds with a solid beer belly, and an adventure travel host of the Chubby Diaries, who weighs in at a tidy 400 pounds, not quite a bantamweight. The common theme for them all was rejecting the idea that being fat and being fit are at odds with each other. For Men's Health, a fitness and lifestyle magazine historically defined by athleticism, toned musculature, and overall masculine hotness, this willingness to make health a matter of mindset rather than, you know, body characteristics, is refreshingly counterfactual. Following boldly in the sandy footprints of the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition, which has decided that all bodies are equally beautiful, which, of course, means that none of them can be described as beautiful since beautiful just isn't a meaningful word anymore, Men's Health now says that all men are sexy, and therefore there's no such thing as sexiness. They've finally realized that being obsessed with healthy eating, looking good, feeling energetic, or appealing to the opposite sex are all just as much obsessions as anything else. So, instead of having weight goals, fitness goals, or what traditionalists might call any goals at all, these modern gurus of self-congratulation simply say you should be what you are, prompting Men's Health to consider renaming itself as Men's Whatever, or possibly Men's It Doesn't Really Matter, or even something more to the point, Men, we give up. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, an even heartier praise for the Boy Scouts of America, which after only 114 short years has finally decided to abandon its sexist, exclusionary, and patriarchal name and evolve into the 21st century as Scouting America. Let me say it again, Scouting America. At last, this former boot camp breeding ground for male chauvinist pigs, I mean, how many of us haven't known a vile, sexist Eagle Scout or three in our time, am I right? Has fully embraced an open policy of inclusion to all our young brethren, sisterin, and otherin. Scouts first started changing in 2013 when gay scouts were allowed, and in 2015 when gay adult scout leaders were allowed. Obviously, it's not fair to allow recruiting of gay scouts when you don't have any gay scoutmasters to recruit them. Then in 2018, girls were finally admitted as Cub Scouts, and then actually as Boy Scouts in 2019, but of course therein lies the trouble. It makes no sense, even in our dream world of total gender anarchy, to label girls as Boy Scouts, 6,000 of which have now reached the pinnacle of Eagle Scout, by the way. Obviously, we celebrated all these moves, even though they were motivated more by dwindling BSA enrollment and a decade of reeling from the sex abuse scandals and $2.4 billion bankruptcy reorganization. What we admired in particular about co-educational scouting was that it tended to draw girls away from that other wickedly segregationist youth outdoor program, the Girl Scouts. Naturally, if we don't believe in sexist boys' clubs, we can't believe in a sexist girls' club either. So finally, in a world where boys can like boys, and where girls can like girls, and where boys can even become girls, and where girls can become boys, it's just better to have one large happy melting pot of jamboree inclusion, Scouting America. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
As you depart today, please join us outside on the front lawn for the Swanson Phillips Gender Designation Party. As you know, our order does not believe in gender reveals, but because obviously only the child they self can ever reveal their gender to us later. But we do think it acceptable if parents were to temporarily assign a gender to their baby for now, like a placeholder. To honor our belief in gender bending, pink glitter will be for a boy, blue glitter will be for a girl, and rainbow glitter will be for anything else. Obviously, the Swanson Phillipses have not seen the ultrasound, not that it would matter anyhow. After all, what does a child's biology have to do with its gender assignment? If a person can identify as anything they want, regardless of birth biology, why can't parents designate a child as anything they want as well? It's only logical. Also, the gender randomness rating for this event is a 7. Be sure to sign in so your virtue badge scores will be updated appropriately. Refreshments this week are provided by The Grass Is Always Greener, a chlorophyll-themed juice bar featuring liquid refreshments made from blended corn husks, straw, and pickled radishes infused with that miraculous life-giving photosynthetic life juice. The grass is always greener. You can really taste the virtue.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.